You're listening to another inspiring message at United Life. We believe you'll be encouraged and motivated as you listen. For more information about us, please visit www.united-life.com or email info at united-life.com.
Good morning, everyone, and hello from the interweb. Great to see you this morning. My name's Ben. I'm one of the pastors here at C3 United Life. And it's so great, isn't it, to be joining you online. Just when you thought you'd had enough of me for a while, here I am live in your living room, loving the pyjamas, by the way. But what a great service we've had this morning. It's been excellent. Thank you to Mike and Kelly for leading us in worship. These guys, you're just legends, total legends. And our kids for waving their palm branches. My little son, Ethan, he went a bit mad on his. I don't know where that came from. He got a bit aggressive, but it was pretty funny. So thank you for that. And then to top it all off, so good to hear from Chrissy and Leslie, our mission partners. And great to hear from you guys. We love you, and we're praying for you both. And so thank you for your contribution this morning. Well, these are strange times, aren't they? Strange times we're living in with coronavirus spreading across the world. And of course, we're now all doing our bit to prevent the spread, staying at home as much as possible. But I think during these times, it's only right that the Church of God speaks into this. You know, the Word of God is unadulterated truth, and it stands throughout all of history. The Church proclaiming the truth will stand beyond this outbreak, beyond this virus outbreak. Jesus said this. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." See, the church will not just survive during this time, but it will flourish. It will grow. The good news about Jesus will continue to go out. It is unstoppable. And so I'm excited to be a part of that this morning, to be able to speak to you from God's word. I believe that during all historic moments, like the moment we're in now, the church has a responsibility and an opportunity to respond, and we should respond well. The church will be remembered for the way we've responded during this time. And so I want to speak into that this morning as well. So in the Bible, Paul writes to a guy called Timothy, and Timothy is kind of Paul's apprentice, but actually he's more than that. Paul calls him his spiritual son. And he writes him this letter in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5 to 7. "I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What simple but amazing verses these are. Paul reminds Timothy that when he came to genuine faith in God for himself, that God gave him a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So one thing I've noticed recently is that coronavirus is not the only thing that's gripping our nation right now. A spirit of fear is also gripping our nation and, in fact, the world. Many people are full of fear, and perhaps you're one of them. See, Paul's letter to Timothy applies as much to us today as it did to him then. Timothy had real reason to be afraid. Christianity was persecuted around the world. Speaking about Jesus could get you killed. And this is the context into which Paul writes to Timothy and tells him not to be afraid. And so this still applies to us today. And I want to be really clear right from the beginning. I'm not saying that people with no fear will just carry on as normal. I'm not saying that at all. We must be wise during these times. We must follow what our government tells us to do. We must let them lead us. That's a biblical thing, to let our government lead us on this. And so that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we must check our motivations. What is motivating us during this time for the way we react and the way we act? What is our motivations? Are we reacting from a place of fear, or are we reacting from the Spirit of God that lives within us with power, love, and a sound mind? See, Paul, he contrasts the spirit of fear with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He speaks about how the Holy Spirit is in every Christian, and that it's the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He draws this contrast. So let's look at that. First of all, power. The spirit of fear comes from feeling powerless. See, this virus is here, and there's not a lot we can do about it. We feel powerless to stop it. And that makes us feel out of control. That is not a nice feeling. We all like to feel like we're in control. And this makes us feel out of control. It makes us feel powerless. When this pandemic first came into the UK, we saw people stockpiling things like toilet paper. And at first, I just didn't understand that. I was like, that is not going to stop you getting this virus, you know. I didn't get it. But it seems so far removed from the virus. But I realized that this is a symptom of the spirit of fear. It's a symptom of the spirit of fear. The idea of running out of toilet paper is not a comfortable one, let's face it. And though we can't control the virus, this is something we can control. See, just having it there gives us that comfort. We just know it's there just in case we need it. And that gives us some comfort. It helps us to not feel so powerless. See, coronavirus speaks to human beings' basest fear, our deepest fear, the fear of death. This is understandable fear when you don't know what's beyond death, or you think that death is the end. But as Christians, we do not fear death. In contrast to the spirit of fear, the Spirit of God says, "Where is your sting, O death? Where is your victory?" See, we know where we're going. We know that death is not the end. We know that death is gain because we get to be with Jesus in heaven forever. See, we aren't afraid of death because Jesus has overcome its power and his power lives in us. So what power do we have? Ephesians 1, 18 to 20 says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That's amazing, isn't it? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and in you if you're a Christian. Can you imagine that kind of power? Jesus said this amazing statement in John 10, 17. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Jesus laid down his life. So let's first just imagine the power it took for Jesus to lay down his life in the first place. Today is Palm Sunday. That's why the kids were waving those palm leaves. This is the day that we remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. And all the people were cheering his name, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is King. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." They loved Jesus. But within a week, they would nail him to the cross. See, Jesus could have become their king as they wanted. He could have done as they'd asked. But instead, he chose the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying and he's asking the Father if there's any other way. But he says that famous line, "Not my will, but yours be done." Then they come and arrest Jesus. And his disciples want to fight. Peter cuts off the guy's ear. But Jesus says, "Stop. Do you not think I could summon 12 legions of angels to my side?" See, Jesus willingly goes to the cross. He chooses the cross. No one took his life from him. He laid it down for all of us. It took amazing power for Jesus to humble himself in that way and to lay down his life on the cross when it could have been another way. Jesus is on the cross. And as he breathes his last, he gives up his spirit, the Bible tells us. The power of death overcomes Jesus. As with all of us, death has the final word. See, the power of death is the greatest power that any of us will face in our lives. You can't stop it. There's nothing you can do to prevent it. No one is more powerful than death. Nothing is more powerful than death except Jesus. Just as Jesus said, he has the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again. Only Jesus has ever done this, and only Jesus will ever do it. Next week, we celebrate Easter, and this is why we celebrate it. 2,000 years on, it is still the greatest news in history. The power of death has been defeated when Jesus rose again, and Jesus is alive today with his Father in heaven. This is why we celebrate Easter. This is why it's so important to Christians. See, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that conquered, imagine the type of power you would need to conquer that, to conquer death, the one thing that none of us have power over. Jesus had the power over it. That same power lives in me. When I gave my life to Jesus, he gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit, just like he gave to Timothy. His Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing eternal life. See, death has no victory and death has no sting because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise me to eternal life when Jesus returns. We do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, immense power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So we must check our motives. Are your actions being led by the spirit of fear, or are they being led by the Holy Spirit's power? So what about love? Paul contrasts spirit of fear with love. When I lived with my parents, if I went to get myself a cup of tea and I came back and I hadn't got my dad one, he would say, "Oh, I'm all right, Jack." You know, it's that kind of idea of, oh, sort yourself out, you know. I never worked out who Jack is, but, you know, it's just sort yourself out, you know, don't worry about me, don't worry about others. And this is what happens when the spirit of fear takes hold of us. When we feel afraid, our natural reaction is to go inwards, to make sure that we're okay. My neighbour, he's a manager at Lidl's, and he was telling us that he's had to break up fights over the last pack of toilet roll in his shop, and he regularly has to tell people, just calm down. We've got enough stock for everyone, just calm down. And, you know, young and healthy people are taking more than they need with no regard for those who are more vulnerable, no regard for those who maybe need it more than they do. It's that, I'm all right, Jack. You know, maybe you're not fearful of dying from corona or catching coronavirus, but maybe you are fearful of lack. Maybe you're fearful of not having enough. See, the spirit of fear says to us, make sure that I'm all right. Make sure that I'm all right. But the spirit of God says, love your neighbor as yourself. In 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. The one who fears has not been perfected in love. See, when we fully understand the love of God towards us, it would destroy our fears. Why would we fear anything when our God is bigger, greater, and stronger than all things? See, he's bigger than coronavirus. He's bigger than your lack. You may not know this, but God loves you with a perfect love. That's why he chose to die for you. And his perfect love casts out all fear. If you have fear in your life, it's because you have never experienced, don't fully understand, or have forgotten God's perfect love for you. You are not perfected in love. And you'll never fully conquer your fears until you realize how much God loves you and how far he would go for you. So the church in this moment has a fantastic opportunity to love people. We need to get our fears out of the way and to start looking out for others, to not be inward focused. Philippians 2, I love these verses, says this, 1 to 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So the perfect love of God will cast out all your fears. Turn to God, turn to him. Tell him your fears and let him love you with his perfect love. We do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Check your motives. Are your actions being driven by fear, or are they being driven by love? Love for others. Paul speaks about a sound mind. See, maybe you've been watching the news and seeing some of the footage and at times thinking, these people are crazy. They've lost their minds. And the spirit of fear does that to us. It causes us to lose our minds. As the spirit of fear takes hold of us and we feel powerless, we become irrational and we grasp at anything and everything that will make us feel in control. When we become so inward focused and so selfish that we become irrational. For people looking on, we look crazy, and probably we are a little. We start acting out of our normal character. Maybe you've noticed this. Maybe some people that you know who seem so put together normally, so rational and steady, suddenly seem wobbly and irrational and aren't acting themselves. This is what fear can do to us. The Spirit of God, in contrast, is of a sound mind. We are able to make sound judgments, wise and godly decisions, not irrational ones. For example, I probably don't need 1,000 bottles of hand sanitizer. Or maybe someone else might need that more than I do. We can make sound decisions. The NIV translation says a self-disciplined mind. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Here's a bit of a confession. I talk to myself. I know I don't mean like a split personality, like Gollum from Lord of the Rings kind of talk to yourself. That would be a bit extreme. But sometimes I do talk to myself. And it might sound a bit strange to some of you. I think it's because I'm quite creative. That's what I like to tell myself anyway. I'm not mad. But self-discipline, that kind of self-control, it's about talking to yourself. You know, it's a classic example. You've got a big piece of cake in front of you, but you've promised yourself you're on a diet. You know, part of you says, I want to eat that cake. I really want to eat that cake. And the other part of you comes in and just says, no, we're going to be good. You know, you're talking to yourself. You're disciplining yourself. This is what self-discipline is all about. And this is why it's so important this is why learning the Bible is so important. Reading the Bible, learning what it says is so important because you can speak the truth of God over yourself. You can talk to yourself with the Word of God. See, when you feel afraid, you can use self-discipline to tell yourself, if God is for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. See, we can speak these truths over ourselves when we feel afraid. God's perfect love will cast out fear. We can speak to the spirit of fear. The perfect love of God casts you out in the name of Jesus. The spirit of fear causes us to lose our minds, to act out of the ordinary, to become irrational in our thoughts and in our behavior. But the Spirit of God is steady, unshakable, self-controlled, self-disciplined. The Word of God speaks truth over our lives. It breaks down strongholds and it casts out fear. See, I said at the beginning that the church will be remembered for her response during this time. How will the church be remembered? You know, we always say that the church is not the building, it's the people. Well, now our buildings are closed. The church is the people. We are the church. So how the church will respond depends on how you will respond, Christian. Respond without fear. Respond with power, love, and a sound mind. Perhaps you're watching this today and you're not a Christian. Perhaps you've never been to church, but you're watching us here this morning. And something that I've said has spoken to you, something that I've been talking about has resonated with you. See, I spoke about power. You know, the Bible says that the good news about Jesus is the power to save. To save you from the consequences of your sins. To save you from death and give you life, eternal life. See, it was Jesus' power that raised him from the dead. It broke the power of sin and death forever. That power that is over us. See, it made it so that we can live free from our sins and live with God forever in eternity. Jesus had the power to lay down his life and to take it back up again. And he invites you now to know that power too. I spoke about love. It's been said before that it wasn't the nails that held Jesus on the cross. It was love that held him there. So remember, no one took Jesus' life from him. He laid it down. He laid it down. And after Jesus rose again from the dead, he still had the nail scars in his hands. Isaiah, about 700 years before Jesus, said this. He prophesied this. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. See, the scars that Jesus carries on his hands has your name on it. He died for you specifically. He knows and loves you specifically. Jesus said there's no greater love than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. He considered you his friend. He laid down his life for you and he invites you to know him today. Finally, I spoke about a sound mind. That same Jesus that died for you and has your name written on his hand, engraved on his hands, calls you to make a sound judgment towards these things, to be of sound mind, to respond to him and what he has done for you with the appropriate response. Will you reject him and all that he's done for you, or will you turn and follow him? In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus invites you to follow him today, to step out of your darkness and into his light, to step out of your sin that leads to death and into forgiveness and eternal life. See, when we give our lives to Jesus, he gives us his spirit to live inside of us. That same spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me because his spirit lives in me. It is his spirit in me that causes me to have power, love, and a sound mind when the world is going mad, and his spirit in me that guarantees that though I die, I too, like Jesus, I will rise again when Jesus comes back and I will live with him in a perfect world forever. I'm going to say a short prayer to close. And by praying this prayer along with me in your heart, you can walk today into a relationship with God. You can start a new life with him. You can walk out of your darkness and into his light, just as Jesus said. So if you want to pray this with me, I'm just gonna pray it now and just pray it along with me in your hearts. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died on the cross for me. I thank you that he forgave me of all my sins and that my name is written on the palms of his hands. Today, I accept your love for me. I turn from my sins, and I turn to follow you. Thank you for saving me today. Thank you that today I can call myself a Christian. Amen. Well, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, you're starting a new life. Your old life is gone, your new life has come. And I just want to encourage you to contact us and let us know that you've prayed that prayer. We're gonna have a Facebook Live time in a moment. And perhaps you want to join us on that and tell us, yeah, I prayed that prayer at the end, and tell us what you thought of this message. And so that's all from me. It's been great. Thank you so much for joining me. And I look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live. Thank you.